What's up, friends? My name is Maddie, and my expectations for 2022 are incredibly low.
And I'm Reebs, and I am cautiously optimistic, for the new year.
And we're the Oh God Podcast.
We are a faith-based podcast where you can ask questions and find community of like-minded people who are deconstructing and reconstructing their faith and trying to find new meaning in what it looks like to live out their faith in these crazy times.
So friends, welcome to a faith community that redefines faith in a world that isn't as definitive as the church can sometimes make it seem. Reebs!
Maddie!
It is a whole new year.
It is.
I haven't seen you since last year.
I haven't. No, I haven't seen you since like early December. I don't even know when we last saw each other. It seems like forever ago.
It really has been an eternity. Yeah. And now we're recording in two different places,
yes,
which is kind of exciting.
We've never done that before. This is our first virtual recording. You're so far away.
I know. Yeah. Thank God for Zoom. I can at least see your face.
So good. Wow.
Yeah. I am like cautiously very low expectation, treading lightly into the new year. I'm a little nervous about it. I don't know how you're feeling, but
yeah,
I'm very cautious.
Yeah. I feel like I have no expectations. You know, the past 2 years, the bar could not be any lower. For 2022. I mean, in the best possible way. I'm just thinking if I keep the expectations low, it can only go up. And, you know, I don't know what a therapist would say about that. I'm sure that's not the healthiest way of looking at it, but it is the way I am looking at it currently.
I feel that on a spiritual level. I normally, like, the new year is a really big thing. I love it. And I, you know, went through all of my same routines this year, but I am just treading so lightly. Also, because I realized that we just kind of like lost 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh my God, it's 2022.
Yep.
This decade's going to be over before we know it. And then I had a little crisis and that kind of freaked me out.
Especially because I like looked up the other day, the influenza like epidemic only lasted like a year and a half. And so we're already like surpassing that, and there seems to be no end in sight. So, that's also another thing I just try not to think about. I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna roll with the punches. I'm masked again. Yeah. I have my booster. You know, it's just like a never ending like, yeah.
And it feels like Groundhog's Day. Like,
yeah,
we already did all
of
this.
We've already done it so many times now.
Yeah, friends, I don't know if you are feeling just the sense of like, what the heck that I am feeling. But if you are, you're not alone.
Yeah.
You know, going into a new year, I'm like, I don't even know if I have the energy to get excited about it. So I'm trying to make the energy.
Yes, agreed.
Did you set any resolutions for this year?
So kind of ish. Every year I do this like workbook that's called Year Compass, and I absolutely love it. If you just Google Year Compass, it shows up, and like every year they make a different version. But they essentially, I feel like it's better at helping you process the previous year and then tries to help you set some like reasonable expectations for the next year. But I do feel like every year I look back and I'm like, oh, I forgot I said that. So I'm actually going to try to like print it out and keep it nearby, like keep it in my little office space so that I look at it regularly. I think it's an incredible resource because it also like it breaks things into different categories. So like looking for the year ahead, it tells you to like sort of dream and think about what you want like each of the categories to hold. So it has like a personal life and family, work, relaxation, mental health, fitness. So like all these different buckets where you can just write like what you want to happen in those things.
I love that.
Yeah.
I see those types of like resolution or like almost more so like intention setting.
It definitely is.
That is something
setting.
I appreciate.
It's not as much resolution. Like it's for sure. Like I just got to the page I was looking for. It says like, it's called Magical Triplets for the Year Ahead, but it's like three things I will make my surroundings cozy with, three things I will do every morning, three things I will pamper myself with, three places I will visit. Like all these just like more manageable instead of like And so I do feel like I stick with those. Like, I'll think about, like, okay, what's my morning routine? Or, like, okay, I just, like, did something really good, so I'm going to pamper myself with some Thai food. Like, that's what I put down, like, Thai food and candles and plants. So, like, uh-huh. I feel like those things I do stick to, which is, like, kind of nice. But anyways, I enjoy that resource a lot. I'll try to link it, like, in the show notes in case anyone else yeah. wants to do it. But, yeah.
I'm going to look it up because I do something kind of similar, but yeah, it's way more just doing? Like following. Oh, mine is just following the chain of my own brain.
I so, love you know, the it chain gets... of Maddie's brain, though. It's the best chain.
Sometimes it is, and sometimes it stresses me out.
It's a
out.
Magical train.
Oh, God. She is fun. Kind of like she the Polar Express. She do be going Express. Full speed. You have no idea.
It's what just is like going a guy on. In there it's... dancing on a table, screaming hot chocolate.
While you're skating through ice
right,
with no
right,
tracks.
Right, right, right. And everyone has creepy dead eyes. Oh, God, I hate that movie. I love your brain. I hate that movie. It's so terrifying.
I love the Polar Express.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if we can... I'm just kidding. This
well,
is
mainly
our
this. I'll tell this story and then I'll get back to my resolutions. Uh-huh. When I was when it first came out, I was in elementary school. Yeah. And my mom worked at the Ford plant. And she took off work to come with us to see the Polar Express in the theater when it dropped. But she had to get to work at like 5 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So we get there. Everyone gets their own little bag of popcorn, their own little soda. And we go sit down. Within the first 10 minutes, she has eaten and drank both of our popcorns, both of our sodas, and is snoring so loud
I love
through
that.
The whole film.
I love that.
I was like mortified, and to this day every time I watch it,
yeah,
that's what I think of. Anyway,
yeah, I definitely loved that movie when it came out. I think just as I've gotten older, I don't know, that movie, like, I don't like claymation, so I think that's part of it, is it just like deeply unsettles me, like their faces and their eyes yeah. and the creepy like ghost character. But I think I saw that movie in theater probably like 5 times. Like, and I didn't go see movies that much, but it was just, I remember that movie being such a big deal when it came out. Like, uh-huh. everyone was seeing it. And I think I had like 2 different friends that had their birthday parties was like to go see Polar Express.
The Polar Express.
Right. No, one of them, I have a vivid memory of like, she, and I didn't have like, I don't know, she rented a limo. And like, we went in a limo to go see the Polar Express at this really nice, like, 3-story theater in like Gwinnett, like Atlanta area. And it was just such a juxtaposition of like limo and Polar Express 3D. But it was a good time.
Back to my resolutions. No, okay. That was me. I talked about it. But no, I have this like process down. I started doing it a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Because we did like a star word thing for Epiphany in church where you like drew a word and it was like your word of the year. And I really liked it. And then I saw in another, I forget what church it was now, but another church where they had talked about like theming your year versus like setting a resolution.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. So what I've started doing, is sitting down a few days before the end of the year and I'll like reflect back on the year as a whole and then identify like a word or a theme that I think I want to invest in the new year. So, like last year my word was drawn. So it's kind of a hard word to work with, which kind of sucked, but it also 100% showed up. So last year my word was center. Or like centering. And then this year I decided to go with wonder. So my goal in the new year is to like find a way to cultivate a sense of wonder in my life.
I love that. I do love the idea. I don't know if that was just like a churchy thing for a while, like a craze where it was like, what's your word for the year? But I do feel like my circle in college, like everyone kind of had like a word of the year. Which I do like having that. I have tried, that's part of that booklet, is it asks you to set like a word for the year ahead. But my word for this year, is like reconnection, and that idea of just like reconnecting, both to myself, to God, to other people. 'Cause I feel like through everything, like one thing I've noticed for sure in myself and like processing through the last year is I've become like so disconnected, particularly from like processing what's going on around me. Like there's so much I have not processed about like what fizz. So
that's a great one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Like, part of the almost like borderline overwhelm or just like total disengagement, I think a lot of us feel towards the new year stems from the fact that like we haven't been able to actually connect with anyone in 2 years.
Right. Yeah.
And if you have, it's always with this like looming thing in the back of your mind that like you're going to get sick or something's going to happen.
Right.
How like, so once you have a theme for your year, how do you like to kind of like structure what you do moving forward? I know I've had people who have themed their year in the past too, and it was always like super intense, which I kind of hated, where like their words were really intense. Mm. So it was like, my word is discipline. And so everything that I do has to be, and you're like, whoa, bro. I don't know about all that. I don't know if I'm there yet, mm-hmm. but do you like filter your list of intentions through the theme, or do you just try to weave it in?
I feel like this year I'm trying to be more intentional about it. Whereas in the past, I don't know, I've just kind of chosen a word that I felt like fit, which like has worked. But like this past year when I was reflecting, I feel like I felt a lot more disappointed about 2021 than I have previous years. Even like 2020, like, I don't know. I just feel like this past year, particularly like, it, not so much in like what happened, because actually like looking back, I feel like I had so many incredible things happen, and like some of my favorite memories like have happened this past year. I got to go so many cool places, like a lot of good happened. I more mean, I feel like I wasn't fully present for everything. Like, I wasn't taking time to process things. I wasn't prioritizing my mental health, and just really didn't take time to like process or dig through like my emotions while anything was happening. So I feel like as I looked back, I was like, wow, I really processed zero of what happened this past year. And then like had this moment of like, man, like I really used to prioritize like taking care of mental and emotional health and processing the things that were going on. And instead of that turning into like negative self-talk of like, wow, you like wasted a full year of being able to process, and like, how could you not do that? Or just like, instead of tearing myself down about that, I'm trying to like, one, appreciate the fact that like I accomplished a lot in a year where I was very much in survival mode, like so many other mm-hmm. people are right now. And two, instead just like focus more intentionally this year on like, am I taking time to like be present where I am? Am I taking time to notice my surroundings and like fully be here instead of thinking about everything else that's going on? So I'm trying to just like take more breaks, to like actually check back in and be like, okay, like how was today? What happened today? Yeah,
I love that. Similarly, to you, I felt kind of the same way. And I think one of my big goals in this year, outside of just all the other stuff that I've set kind of through that theme, is like finding a way to re-engage with my faith in a more intentional way, or like for you reconnecting, or for me like finding a sense of wonder in it again. 'Cause yeah, like of all the things that were going on, like taking the time to sit down and like super invest in my spiritual life just like wasn't a thing that's happened.
Yeah.
Super intentionally, I think, as I would like it to. So on Sunday, I got to preach for the first time in a long time, like in probably like a year and a half, which was really cool. And I ended up preaching on my word of the year, or like preaching on wonder, which was fun because it kind of like forced me to get really specific in like what I'm going to do in order to be able to talk about it. She went through a lot of drafts because it was like a lot.
Yeah.
Like I think the first time someone read it, they were like, okay, so there's a lot going on here. What are we doing?
Polar Express brain.
Woo! Yeah, it was. But we narrowed her down. We got her there. But it was really fun to talk about because I think one of the things that I have recognized, and we've touched on it, and like maybe other people are feeling it too, is that like we're so kind of out of touch, or maybe even just like familiar with the state of the world. Like we are just kind of expecting for it to feel like a dumpster fire, that right. like we're so familiar, our sense of wonder has kind of died off.
Yeah,
like it doesn't feel like there's anything left to be in awe about.
I mean, yeah, I literally just at the beginning was like, I have zero expectations, we're just rolling with the punches, right? So you're totally correct. Like,
yeah, it's like there is no wonder. No. And like the sense of feeling burnout and tired yeah. and indifferent, like, God, it just, eh.
Yeah.
And so I had a lot of fun getting to like talk about, and found it to be really encouraging to like talk about wonder. So I thought like in our conversation today that we could just like yeah. talk through some of that.
Please lay it on me. I need some wonder.
Have you ever seen the wonder? That's the only Hillsong you will ever get from me, because that one line uh-huh. has been in my head literally for probably a month. It's been horrible. Mm-hmm. I cannot get it out. Anyway,
totally unrelated, but the song that's in my head right now is that not even song, the specific like verse that is that I can't even remember who it's by, but it's that take time to realize, like that
Colby yes, Calais.
I thought it was Colby Calais, but I was like, I don't want to sound like a dummy. Only that specific, and I don't know why, it's unrelated to everything, but that specific chunk is just on a loop in my head. Okay.
I used to listen to that CD
on repeat. I love Colby Calais. CD. Okay.
Bubbly rocked yes! my world.
Why? That was such a wow, what a good song.
There was another Polar Express yeah. thought, and then we'll come back. when Bubbly came out, we were in like what, like eighth mm-hmm. grade ish.
Yeah, it was.
I was quote unquote dating my stepbrother at the time's best friend, who was like one of our mm-hmm. family friends, and we were having the very important conversation of picking what our song was going yep. to be, because we weren't going to wait for something to make it the song. We had to pick yeah. it, and I wanted it to be "You and Me" by Lifehouse. Mm-hmm. And he wanted it to be Bubbly by Colby Calais. And I lost, and it became Bubbly. Mm-hmm. And that was our song. And then we only dated for like 6 months.
It was
our fourth song.
It was the curse of Colby.
So when we're talking about wonder, it's a wonder that we get through.
It is a wonder.
There were like two kind of specific things that I think we can invest in, or maybe even like intentions that we can set in the new year to try to like reignite a little bit of wonder. Mm-hmm. These are things I'm leaning into. If you out there listening are interested, these are things that like I think you could do, because they're open enough, they can look like anything to anyone. Mm-hmm. But they might be helpful. So the first kind of specific way I think we can generate a little bit of wonder is to just keep asking a lot of questions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like just, or even just like start asking questions. I feel yeah. like I stopped asking them mm-hmm. and I just kind of got stale. Like I was like, you know what? This is where I am.
Yeah.
And that's good enough. Yeah. And then I became cranky. I became a Scrooge. I did. Yeah. And nothing was fun anymore. I think questions keep us engaged.
Yeah. I think you're so right. I don't think I've ever really thought about that fact that like questions, I feel like, would directly correlate with this like sense of just like wonder and curiosity and being engaged with what's going on around you instead of just kind of being like zombie and walking through life. Because I do feel like it really, I don't know, when you ask questions, like you're just more happening.
Yeah. Well, there's also the definition of wonder, which any good pastor has to work in the definition mm-hmm. of the word.
Yeah, give
obviously.
Me that. Give me that Webster's.
While I was writing my sermon, I looked up the definition of wonder, and not to give away all the tips and tricks, mm-hmm. but that's always where you start. It actually does break down into three areas, though. There's like the wonder that is the sense of awe, wonder that is questions and curiosity, and wonder that is doubt, which I really appreciated.
Yeah.
And the fact that all three of those things fall under the same thing is really impactful to me. I feel like we think of wonder and we either think of like awe-inspiring moments or curiosity. but we kind of back burner or discount the very real like doubts that we have.
Yeah.
But I don't know necessarily that we should. I feel like doubts factor in a sense of wonder. Yes. When there's something you just like, I don't know what I believe about that. And yet.
Right. Yeah. Cause I feel like that's almost like, and I don't know, because I'm working through this as I'm talking, so we'll see where this goes. But it almost makes me think of like doubts being almost like the reverse of like asking questions. You're like almost deconstructing a question. Like you start with a doubt and then I feel like it makes you ask questions, you know? That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Like when you start to doubt something, it makes you really think about it a lot more and really like wonder and unpack it. And there is something so, I mean, as we've seen through, I feel like a lot of what we talk about are those like doubts when it comes to like faith specifically, but I've seen in my own life where those doubts have led to this sense of like curiosity again in my faith and like really discovering and unpacking and trying to figure it out.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And there, I think it's also kind of encouraging to know that like there is space for the doubt amidst wonder, that like wonder. You don't have to be you don't have to be completely in agreement all the time to feel wonder.
Yes.
And so especially within like this community, as we're talking about different things and finding ways to like further unpack what we're learning in the new year, like if you doubt something or you wrestle with something or you're just like not sure where to go with something, I think that there's encouragement to be found in knowing that that's like a wondrous thing, that that's a good thing that you don't necessarily know, because that leaves a lot of room for you to keep learning.
Oh, I love that. I am going to have to like sit in a dark room and think about that for a while. But just the idea that like, I knew that doubts were good, you know, that doubts aren't bad. I feel like I've worked through that enough, like just personally and like throughout sort of the course of doing this podcast. But I feel like in my mind, I would like awe and feeling this sense of like wonder and like spiritual wonder in my mind really conflicted with that sense of doubt. Like I couldn't be in that place again where I can truly appreciate and like feel wonder and feel like awe inspired by something if I'm wrestling with it. And so I love that idea that like, not only do they go together, but really it's like kind of the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so good.
I love that. The other thing with questions that is just kind of fun. I'm almost positive that I have said this on the show before, 'cause it is like my favorite Jesus fun fact. But we're going to say it again. Jesus asks an insane amount of questions. Like, annoyingly so. A great example of this in the story of the Good Samaritan. I didn't pay much attention to this until, obviously, I was, like, sitting down to really break apart, like, the sermon and also this. But in it, so you have this lawyer dude, right? And he goes up to Jesus. And this is going to be, like, the Message version of this, the major paraphrase. This lawyer bro goes up to Jesus and he tries to like trick him into saying something he's not supposed to say. So he asks him what he has to do to gain eternal life, and instead of just like answering him with an answer that would just blow him away and just roast him to pieces, Jesus asks him two questions in return. Like, Jesus never a single time answers this man's question in that whole story. He tells a story and he asks more questions. And then at the end of it, he's like, all right, guy, what do you think? And the guy's just kind of like, I guess it's this. And he's like, all right, well, then go do that. And like, that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just such a great example of Jesus pushing us to ask questions to figure it out on our own.
Yeah.
In the Gospels, well, there's a book written by a guy named Martin Copenhaver called Jesus is the Question. And in it, he talks about all the questions that Jesus asks in the Gospels. But in the Gospels, Jesus is asked 183 questions.
Okay.
He directly answers three questions and then turns around and asks 307 questions.
God, I love that.
I hate it. So for like almost every question he's asked, he asks two more. And
what a way to look smart, you know?
Right?
Like, just like a major ask flex. A question.
He would just eat up a Socratic seminar.
Right, yes. Good old Socratic method. Okay. Infuriating it, on the behalf of someone who just asked a question, but...
Right.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think where I find the most encouragement in that is that not only does Jesus ask a lot of questions himself, but he values the idea that I could be asking questions of myself as well. I feel like there are times where you walk into church spaces and you're kind of told that your questions are only valid if you like leave them behind. Like you can have them, but then you have to give them to God and then you have to leave them there.
Right.
And if you're like a true Christian, then you like can't wrestle with anything and you can't be very inquisitive. And that's not true at all. Like Jesus is the most inquisitive person in the Gospels, basically.
Yeah.
And I just love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it says a lot about who Jesus is and like, honestly, the roots of what our faith is this idea of just like asking questions and debating. Like it was very common to like debate openly faith and like ask questions and stuff like that. And it's just so, it always fascinates me that we've come so far from that to where now like the opposite is true of like, you're not even supposed to like ask a question, how dare you? But how that really like is so foundational for everything that we believe.
And the way that we ask questions, because I feel like you're like on in the same vein of that, we either discredit the questions that people are asking, even though Jesus probably wouldn't, or we do present like the same energy as the people Jesus is having conversations with in scripture, where we use the questions as like gotcha trick questions to prove our own point.
Yeah, like pointed or, questions.
Yeah, we like weaponize them or we use them as a way to elevate certain people above other people versus just seeing them as a chance to like grow our faith more or cultivate a relationship or learn something new. Like it's all very ego driven in those cases.
Yeah.
What putting you on the spot.
Okay. I'm ready.
What is like one question that you might want to look into more in the new year?
I feel like something that I have been asking without success, have been trying to figure out what quote unquote like authentic faith practice looks like. Because on this show, I mean, we've talked about sort of like, you know, our relationship with scripture and things like that. And we've talked about things like meditation and journaling. But I feel like that is still such a hard thing for me to unpack of like, what does that look like for me? What does it look like for me to be really living out my faith? And am I doing that well? And I think a lot of that might be, you know, sort of negative things or things that have been ingrained in me that I need to like work through. But I also really do wonder like what faith practice looks like for me and what does it look like for other people? And I feel like it is something that's so boundless. So it's like, okay, is anything off limits? And I feel like there are obviously like some things that would be off limits, such as like, you know, harming other people. But like, I think just in general, like so much can contribute to our faith. So I guess what does it look like to practice faith or connect with God, and what are the limits on that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great one. Mm-hmm. It is kind of similar to mine, which I think mine is almost in that same avenue of like, what does it look like to start trying the things that I'm curious to try to see what impact that they have?
Yeah.
So making it authentic for me and just like trying stuff.
Yeah.
And like seeing what happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would I feel more connected? I also think the other kind of question that I'm curious about is like, what does it look like to decolonize my faith further in the new year? Mm-hmm. And what is a colonized practice and what is just a practice, you know?
Right.
And how do I do it well and appropriately and like all of those things? But yeah, just kind of how do we dabble a little bit in the new year?
I like that. The idea of just kind of trying.
Why not?
Yeah.
The way I see, we have spent 2 years in a pandemic. At this point, just try anything.
Just spaghetti at the wall. Just trying anything just, that could work.
It's gonna stick. Yeah, something's by gonna God. Happen. So the other thing that we can do, I think, in the new year to try to like cultivate a sense of wonder is to seek out the things that bring us joy. Mm-hmm. Which I think is something that we hear and we're like, yeah, I mean, we could do that. Like, it feels very, like quippy, like it's yeah. like a thing, like I'm going to seek joy. But I think that we actually can do that. Yeah. And I do think that, when we experience it, it is something that brings a sense of wonder.
Yes. Every day. Okay. That makes me think back to that Your Compass booklet. One of my favorite sections is it asks you to write out your most memorable, favorite, greatest high points of the year. So all of the best moments. And so you just kind of go through your calendar and you're like, okay, when did I feel the absolute best? And then you write down this like laundry list of like everything that really sticks out. So like I probably had, I don't know, 15 to 20 things. But then next to each of those, it asks you to write like, what stands out about those moments? What sights and sounds and smells do you remember? What were you doing? Who were you doing it with? Why does this stick out to you? And I feel like that exercise is always really impactful for me to like come back to, like even throughout the year, I'll kind of check in and I'll be like, no, this is one for like the best moments list. Like this was such an incredible moment and like helps me stay more in tune. But I also feel like afterwards looking back at it and being like, okay, this is why this was so good. Like I'm starting to see themes of like these specific people, like really, you know, bring out the best in me or make me feel like alive or free, or these activities like, I don't, game nights or things like that are something that like came up a lot for me, or travel or things like that. So, I feel like that's always important for me to like look forward and be like, okay, what were those things that like really, I feel like things that really bring joy or help me feel like connected with others and in tune with what brings me joy. And then how can I best incorporate that moving forward? So like maybe I should do more of this and less of that.
I love that.
Which, by the way, you made that list a lot. You did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there were a lot of joyful moments.
Oh, right. You bring me joy. Yeah. Anyway, that's a lot of emotion for my Enneagram 8. So we're just going to tuck that deep down.
Very deep down, and then we'll die. Isn't that a John Mulaney? Is that like am I making that up?
I think so. I also think of that line from Talladega Nights, where he's like, Ricky, what if you let me win? And he's like, but Cal, if you win, how will I win? And then he's like, I'll just tuck it deep, deep down and never touch it again.
Just bury it down and we'll never revisit it.
Amazing. So one of the thoughts that I've had around this that I'm curious your thoughts on is I think sometimes we confuse joy with happiness.
Yeah.
But they're not the same thing. So what do you see as the difference between joy and happiness?
Happiness is like fleeting things. And not necessarily fleeting, like I don't think it's all instantaneous, but things that are more out of our control, like circumstances, things that happen that just kind of happened and you didn't really have a say in. I feel like joy is more like a state of being, a choice that we are making to connect and to be present and to live through things and experience the things that we're experiencing. I feel like joy is when, like speaking through my personal experience, are the moments when I feel most connected, whether that is to self, that is to God, that is to others. Like those are the moments when I am feeling so deeply in tune with what's going on. And that's a choice that I make to check in, not necessarily like something that happens to me.
Yeah, I completely agree. Happiness is kind of momentary, even if it is like long standing moments. It is fleeting. It's like the little things that kind of happen and we feel it for a bit. I also think joy is like commercialized and sold, but it's actually happiness that you're receiving. So like,
yes,
buy this thing, do this thing, get this, and you'll feel fulfillment. But really it's just like a sense of joy or happiness. Whereas joy is like more deep seated, peaceful, kind of rooted, which I think takes on different forms and kind of pushes us to seek it in different places, because it's not always going to show up where happiness shows up.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Marie Kondo?
I watched a few, and I have always been the really messy one in the family. Like growing up, I was always the one that got in trouble for not cleaning their room. and I have more recently like actually started like, every night I'll like do the dishes. I've kept my car clean for like 3 months, which is like astounding.
I am so proud of you.
I am so proud of myself. And I'm also like, I'm an adult that shouldn't be, you know, I shouldn't. But no, actually,
clean
with my
cars
track
are
record,
so hard to keep.
That is like astounding. And my clothes, I have put them either back in my dresser or in a laundry hamper, which has also never happened.
I'm so proud
that has
of
never
you.
Happened. So I'm trying to turn a new leaf. But long story short, I was not in that phase when I was watching Marie Kondo. So I was just like, God, I feel so bad about myself because my room is so messy. So I watched it briefly, like 3 or 4 episodes.
Oh, see, I love to live vicariously through people who can do things I can't.
Yeah.
Downsizing is not my gift. I am not a minimalist. I am a maximalist. Yeah. I want things everywhere. But what I appreciated, like her whole little tag is like sparking joy.
Right. Yes. I liked that voice you did.
Thank you. Sparking joy. But I feel like maybe we can like Marie Kondo our life a little bit. Like I was thinking about that in building out my resolutions. Is like, what does it look like for me to identify the spots where like I'm putting a bunch of energy that I just like don't need to be.
That's good.
And that one has felt like especially real because I feel like my life has gone from like you've got nothing going on to
full steam ahead.
Oh my God. Yep. On ice, Polar Express.
Yep. No in between. It really was like 0 to 1,000.
Yeah. And I realized really quickly there's a lot of stuff that I put a lot of my time in that just isn't necessary. Like it's stuff that I've been doing, but it doesn't necessarily add anything to my life.
Right.
And it takes up a lot of time. So I'm trying to like Marie Kondo my life. Like how do I make some room so that the stuff I really enjoy and the stuff that makes me happy has room to be there?
Yeah. I love that. I feel like this year I'm trying to have one of my like personal goals is to have better balance and boundaries because I have arguably none. And so I'm trying to like have better balance between like work and home life and like podcasts. Like there's a lot of things that I feel like I'm trying to juggle. And that allows me to have like no time to do the things that I really want to do, which is like, I've said for the past 2 years that I'm going to like host a board game night, like a once a month, just like have people over and play board games. Cause I love board games. And so I'm like, you know what, this is the year where I'm going to cut other things out. But like the issue is I always feel, well, one, pandemic, but two, I always feel so drained from everything that I'm trying to do and overextending myself constantly that I never really want to spend that extra effort to like be around people and like clean the house and like put it on a calendar and then text everybody. Like it just seems like a lot of energy. So I'm trying to like set better boundaries of like, okay, I will only spend 2 nights a week at work late if I have to. mm-hmm. or like I will carve out this specific time to like work on all my podcast things, or this will be the night that I spend to literally just do nothing and only like care for myself, or like this is the night that I'll like do chores if I need to, but have hopefully a little bit better structure to keep myself in a place where I'm like carving out time to care for myself, to then do the things that do spark joy, because I've been spending so much time with like clutter or distraction. Yeah, I've not really done things.
I feel that deep in my soul. Because I think that's also where I'm at. Like, there are just so many things you want to do. Right. And then you get so tired. Right. And you finally get the time to do them. Like, I can think of 10 things, mm-hmm. which is probably more hobbies than anyone needs. Right. But stuff that I've always wanted to try, you know? Like, I think that if I could ever organize enough of the thoughts in my head to be coherent at mm-hmm. all, I could write a really cool book. But that takes so much time. Would.
But I think you can.
The first
do it.
Draft would be horrendous, right? Just like chaos.
I'd read it though.
Oh, thanks. Or like, I want to get like back into crocheting, and I don't give myself the time to do that. Or like, mm-hmm. I've wanted to start a crochet group for like.
No, we've talked about it.
2 years.
We are both like, ideas people.
I know. I just, Lord, if you bring me a life partner, please make him an executor, because
neither
not
Austin
me.
And I are, and it is chaos. The other day I was like, neither of us are executor. When I'm the executor in the relationship, we're in trouble. It's not good.
Yeah, it's a joy. I got a lot of ideas people in my life. Yeah. Not a lot of pushers. But like, or you know, or even just like the idea of setting the resolution to work out or something to like be more healthy.
Yeah.
I'm so exhausted by the time I get there. I'm like, I know I would enjoy this if I did it.
Yeah. But like getting into the
never have the time.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think it's always in the times where like you do make that pocket of time, or you do that thing that you're like, oh, this is so great. No wonder I wanted to try it. Or like, oh, I really hated that, but at least now I know. And there's kind of this like.
Right.
Wonder and experience that comes with that.
Yeah. I feel like we lose, and maybe not lose, but I feel like as adults, it becomes so much harder to like do things that we haven't done before, because like we're so, whether it's like being so afraid of failing or embarrassing ourselves, or like I have social anxiety, so I just don't want anyone to notice me doing the thing. But I feel like when we do those things, like I probably didn't start roller skating or like rollerblading until college. I'm still like not good at it, but that is something I love. And like we've done that together. And, but I feel like we don't take enough time to do those things that could be potentially like catastrophically humiliating, but we do it anyways because we don't know. It could be the thing that like you really love, or like if you've always wanted to do it, then like do it and learn how to do it, and just for the experience of it.
Yeah. And sometimes I think our purpose, not even like our sole purpose, but one of our many purposes or passions pop up in the stuff that starts as just this like nagging idea.
Right.
And so it's like, why not try? Sometimes it's a little risky, but like, again,
sometimes you wipe out.
Sometimes you get a video that is incredible because you cannot skate downhill. But again, we've spent 2 years in a pandemic. Right. And at this point, why not just try it? What could be worse?
Right.
And I think that when it comes to our faith, the thing that I keep reminding myself over and over again is that I was not created, like humanity, you, me, anyone, we were not created to just like do a monotonous routine and to live on the verge of exhaustion. Like God prioritizes rest. We were created to experience the fullness of joy in Christ, right? Like we were created to live a life that is fun and that we enjoy and that is full of wonder. So finding ways to break out of the routine this year is a challenge I'm setting for myself, so that I can actually live my life and not just feel like I'm stuck going through the motions of things. and becoming disinterested in anything that I used to like.
Yes. Mm. Which is so like challenging, because I do feel like one, in the US we have awful work holiday balance. Like there's just none. Like we get maybe 2 weeks, and even then it's not guaranteed. And like capitalism, like that just really like we are 0 for 2 in terms of being able to get rest when we're living in such a like workaholic society. Mm-hmm. But there are some really good I love, and I think I mentioned it before, but it's called the Nap Ministry. It's a really good Instagram account that talks about like resisting capitalism and like resisting the systems in place through resting and through prioritizing like our health, and how that in itself is an act of resistance, which is like kind of an interesting way of thinking about it. But yeah, I feel like we just don't, we're almost like set up, I don't want to say set up for failure, but
we're not in a system that encourages it.
Not at all. But I feel like there's a reason that that is such a, I feel like that is a human theme. You know, I feel like there are maybe some, like societies and cultures who prioritize rest a little bit higher, some who prioritize it lower. Like I think it's on a spectrum, but I still think that that is just a human trope, is like not prioritizing times to rest and enjoy and wonder and take stock of what it is that's like truly happening, like within our bodies and within our minds, which is so important.
I totally agree. And I think rest even opens us up to like be more in tune with ourselves, which then it all becomes very cyclical.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question for you. What is something that you will choose to love about yourself this year? Or like appreciate about yourself?
Good question. Something I will love about her. I think like a specific, I don't know how kind of specific this is. We're gonna build this word ship while we're sailing it. But I think the one of the things that I have historically had to work at appreciating about myself is that I am a very like driven, independent, kind of self-sufficient person. It's just like a byproduct of my life, sometimes to a fault. And because of that, like I've been able to do a lot of really cool stuff, and I feel like I've been successful in like building a life for myself that I'm proud of. And I found that there are like people or relationships in my life where like that kind of energy has like presented as intimidating. And it's always something I've kind of struggled with, is that tension of like wanting to be fast paced and fast moving and like goal oriented, while also kind of always circling back on myself, being afraid that like if I do too much, it's too intimidating to people. And so therefore it like risks some of the relationships in my life. And so it's always been this tension. And so I think one of the things that I am trying to like embrace or lean into extra this year is like continuing to affirm those parts of myself versus like not loving them as much as I probably should. And instead of like lowering my drive to accommodate relationships in my life, like seeking people who can like keep up and maintain that same energy. So that is kind of like the personal big one, is like, how do I keep embracing the drive that I have, and how do I keep like chasing these things that I see as things that I want to be true in my life without like selling myself short out of like fear of someone else's perception, I guess.
I think that's really good. I also feel like that is such an incredible part of who you are, is that like you have such a high drive and have all of these dreams and ideas. And of course you shouldn't make yourself smaller for other people. You know, they can't keep up. Get off the Polar Express.
Hit the road, Jack. We're leaving you with the elves, buddy.
I think it's good to just think about like and take stock of I don't know, as we're moving forward and like in a time of reflection, like thinking about those things that like we're going to choose to embrace this year instead of making ourselves smaller or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's where the joy and the wonder right. and the curiosity all lies. Yes. Is like learning to appreciate those things within yourself.
Yes.
And then seeing them play out in the world around you in a whole new way.
Right. And especially we're in a time where it really does feel like the world is on fire and literally has been. Like it just feels so daunting and yeah, I thank you for this reminder on like how to find wonder in all of this mess, because it really, I feel like this is the year. And who knows what's going to happen this year, but you know what? I'm going to try to choose some joy and stay connected to myself and Marie Kondo my way into sparking joy.
It's all you can do. It's
all we can do. Come on.
It is all we can do.
This economy?
Listen, that one is too real. In this economy, I don't know. Yeah. Well, friends, we are so excited to be here with you at the start of a new year. We're excited to see the ways that you find wonder this year, the ways that you continue to push us to ask more questions, the conversations we're going to be able to have. You bring us a lot of joy, so we're excited to get to do this with you. And, you know, if you don't already, be sure to check us out on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Follow us anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Share this with a friend if you think they would enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But just make sure to stay connected, because we're going to have stuff rolling out all year long and it's going to be incredible.
Yes. Which, exciting, I just saw that Spotify, you can now rate podcasts. It used to just be through Apple. So thank you to everyone who has rated and reviewed us on Apple. But if you haven't done that on Spotify, / if you haven't at all, give us a 5-star. I mean, you can, you know,
it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Leave us a review. Tell us what you think. It means so, so much and helps other people find us.
Yep.
Yeah. Guys, spark some joy this year. You got it. We're all doing it.
Bye. Bye.